Good afternoon, everyone. I'm League Member Reva Bandabadai, and I will be the moderator for the Alachua County Commission District 1 race. For this race, the Alachua County Commission District 1, there are two candidates, Mike Byerly, Democrat, and John Martin, Republican. Welcome, candidates, and thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Alachua County Commissioners are elected for a term of 4 years with no term limits. County Commission candidates are required to live within the district in which they are running, but all registered voters in Alachua County can vote in this race. The format of the forum, which we've been hearing all afternoon, will be as follows. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their opening statement. Following the opening statements, I will read questions prepared by the League of Women Voters. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer. I will rotate the order in which each candidate responds. If time permits, we will take written questions from the audience. After the questions, each candidate will have 2 minutes for their closing statement. We have timers in the front row who will indicate your remaining time. So please keep an eye on them during your answers. When your time is up, they will ring the bell. Opening statements. We will now begin with the candidates' opening statements. You will each have 1 minute, and we will begin with Mr. Byerly.
Thank you. Thank you for having us this evening. Is that okay? Can everyone hear that all right? My name is Mike Byerly. I'm running for re-election to the Alachua County Commission District 1 seat. A little bit about myself. My wife and Busy and I live near the town of Micanopy. My family moved here when I was in high school. I graduated from Buchholz High School, went to college at Clemson University, University of Georgia, and the University of Tennessee. Was happy to move back here later in life and start up a small business here. I was elected to the County Commission in 2000. My education is in ecology and zoology primarily, so those are the issues that got me into politics, the concern about protecting our natural resource base and growth and development that was happening in the county that concerned me. I got involved at the advisory committee level and eventually got into elective office to try to guide our community's growth and development in a way that's beneficial to the entire community, and that remains a primary motivating force for me. I'm a social progressive, and I believe in a criminal justice system that allocates money not just to police and jail, but also to preventative programs and investments in human resources that decrease the need for jail. More about that later. Thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Yes, my name is John Martin, and first, I'm grateful to be here, and I appreciate everybody coming out. I'm a lifelong resident of Alachua County. I was born and raised in Hawthorne, Florida, where I still live to this day. I'm a small business owner, a property owner, and a homeowner. So if anything happens in Alachua County from taxes or regulations, it definitely impacts me. I served on the Hawthorne City Commission, both as mayor, city commissioner, and vice mayor for 13 years. I've served on multiple committees, everything from the Metropolitan Transportation Organization, which deals with transportation issues. I was the first what they call rural advisor that was appointed by the League of Cities to represent the small cities on that board. And I've served on everything from the Shands Eastside Clinic to my most recent being the latest charter review by Alachua County Commission. And I look forward to taking your questions today.
Thank you. We will now move on to our questions prepared by the League of Women Voters. We will rotate the order in which candidates will respond to the question. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer. So for the first question, we'll begin with Mr. Martin. What is your approach to managing growth and development in Alachua County? Do you favor development such as Town of Tioga, Hale Plantation, and Spring Hills? If yes, how would you fund the infrastructure requirements of such development?
Well, first of all, most of the developments that you mentioned are already up and running, so the transportation is to a certain extent already in place, not that there doesn't need to be improvements. I don't have an issue with managed growth. I do believe that most of development should be market-driven. I think that you mentioned Spring Hills, for instance, and one of the issues that I have with that is that the county, in a sense, and I'm sure that that others will disagree with me, but the county, in a sense, forced the developers, if they're going to develop in that property, to go with the multimodal aspect of it. I'm not opposed to that, but the state no longer requires the concurrency issues that were in place when that decision was made. And so to me, if the builders want to develop that type of thing, want to put the money into it, then that is fine. Alachua County currently has impact fees. The city of Hawthorne actually has impact fees as well. And I am open to the possibility of putting a moratorium on those to see how, if it impacts growth. But in its present form, I do support them being there. I'm not sure exactly, as far as you, when you threw in Hale Plantation, my biggest concern about areas like Hale Plantation is, as I say, they're already there, and the road out there, Tower Road, which is the main arterial road for that, has not really had any serious work done on it since 1999, and to me that's inexcusable. I think when you look at it and the amount of taxes that people in that area have paid to for that road to be in that condition, is just, as I say, it to me is a disgrace. As far as town of Tioga, I think it's a well-developed community. I think to a certain extent it is a model for development in this community. It has a great tree cover. It is accessible to shops. I don't see any major traffic issues centered around Tioga.
Thank you. Mr. Byerly.
Well, starting with first principles, I guess, I believe that growth and development is something that the entire community has a stake in. Some people at one end of the political spectrum believe that if you have a piece of property, you ought to be able to do whatever you want with it, and that means build whatever you want on it, no matter where it happens to be. The problem with that is that everyone in the community, including all of you taxpayers, have to deal with the consequences of growth and development. Poorly planned growth and development can put traffic or demand for schools or water impacts in areas that we don't want them. We all deal with the consequences. We all have a right through our elected representatives to have some input as to how the community grows and develops. So I do believe in community planning. I do believe in effective growth management. And I believe that the benefits are broad because there's a direct relationship between the structure of the community and how it grows and the tax burden that is required to provide services to it. Sprawling, dispersed growth is much more difficult and costly to provide basic services to. More compact, so-called traditional neighborhood development, which is what Alachua County currently embraces, is really, it's just the way we built communities for 300 years in this country. And recognizes some of those traditional planning principles as being smart, effective, mixing uses together, making more compact use of land. I support that style of growth and development, but we certainly should allow and do allow for a variety of different living choices in Alachua County. How we pay for it, I strongly support impact fees and full cost recovery impact fees, which means that when a private developer builds something as a business venture, the public cost of providing new public infrastructure to that development should be borne by the developer and passed on to the people who purchase homes there. Otherwise, the general taxpaying public has to subsidize and cover those costs when I think they should be, we should be focusing their revenue on maintaining existing community infrastructure.
Thank you. For our next question, we will begin with Mr. Byerly. What is your approach to having a balanced budget for the county? Does it include increased revenue as well as cuts? Please specifically address the following four issues: the sheriff's budget, the Environmental Protection Department, County Planning Department, and the CAP program for nonprofits.
Okay, well, first of all, we're required by law to have a balanced budget. So that's not an option, and that's a good thing. So we will always balance the budget. The question is, where do we want the budget to go? In the last 4 or 5 years since the economy turned down, we have steadily, incrementally reduced the budget. I think it's important to bear in mind, however, that our community continues to grow. Population continues to increase. Inflation continues to eat away at the purchasing power of county government. Over the last decade, real purchasing power, control for population and inflation of the Alachua County budget has declined about 12%, and there are consequences to that. I believe that we need to continue to kind of keep a steady incremental reduction to our budget as long as the economy continues to struggle. I don't support drastic or lopsided cuts to one part of government over another because I think what Alachua County does right now, I consider everything we do to be core services. Specifically to the items you mentioned, the one part of our budget that I think is overfunded is the Alachua County Sheriff's Office. because the city of Gainesville has annexed a number of large, very crime-ridden areas in the last 5, 6, 7 years and staffed up to meet the call load for those areas. So calls coming in now and crime in those areas is responsibility of the city of Gainesville. Call load has declined approximately 20% to Alachua County Sheriff's Patrol over the last 5 or 6 years, but there hasn't been a corresponding reduction in the budget. So I think we need to make some incremental reductions to that budget, or at least keep it the same as the rest of the budget, rather than increasing it relative to everything else. I don't think we spend enough on environmental protection, and we're actually reducing it substantially this year, which I don't support, or reducing water quality monitoring, controlled fire. I think that's one of those areas we need to be looking to increase the budget. Growth management, I think, is about right. It needs to be correspond to the amount of growth and development that's happening in the community. There's not a lot going on right now, so we've downstaffed substantially there. The community agency partnership program, I think, is something that we ought to at least be keeping the same as the rest of the budget. Instead, it's being slashed by 15% this year, and I don't support that.
Thank you. Mr. Martin.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Indeed. What is your approach to achieving a balanced budget for the county? Does it include increased revenue as well as cuts? Please specifically address the sheriff's budget, the environmental protection department, the county planning department, and the CAP program for nonprofits.
Well, I think that when you look at the budget, you have to be realistic. The budget not only has to reflect the community as far as needs, but it also has to reflect the community as far as ability to pay. Mr. Byerly mentioned the fact that of the 12% increase or decrease in real buying power of county dollars. But if that is true, imagine what the downturn in the buying power of your dollars are. So if you're saying that because the county's buying power dollars have gone down, that justifies raising the millage rate to capture more money, you're not taking into effect that you're taking more money from the people whose ability to buy has decreased as well. I don't support this concept of budget stabilization that has been pushed out there. And by that, it means that you need to keep raising the millage rate so that if property values fall, that you raise the millage rate so you at least try to recapture as much money as the property values dwindle. Most people, their homes and their businesses are the single biggest investment they have. So if those are dropping, their real wealth is dropping. The county, to me, the millage rate is a good barometer of where the county is. So if the millage rate, if the property values fall, then the budget should fall. If property values raise, then you have extra money to do other things at certain times. So as far as the specific programs, first of all, the Sheriff's Department budget, you can't just look at the sheriff itself, because the sheriff also under contract from the county, which is the county's responsibility, runs the jail, essentially runs the combined communications. So there's a lot of things in their budget besides simply patrol. And I do agree that that everything needs to be on the board. The first thing I would say is I don't agree that every budget level should be the same. To me, that's like saying, okay, if I have to lower my overall budget by 10% at my home, I'm going to put my HBO package and my medication package at the same level. I don't believe in that. Some things could be eliminated altogether.
Thank you. Our next question will start with you, Mr. Martin. With increasing concerns over water supply, water quality, and decreased groundwater levels, what actions would you advocate that the county commission take to protect our water supply, especially in the western part of the county where growth continues?
Well, I've been involved in the water issues for a number of years. I was the first person in the state of Florida actually to push forward a resolution condemning the transfer of water rights, which was proposed from our area to South Florida. To me, you have to understand that the water that is under Alachua County did not come from Alachua County. The rainfall that comes here really goes into the aquifer and flows a different direction. So in order to protect it from a water supply side, you have to look much broader than Alachua County. The thing that concerns me is when you look at like the permits that the Jacksonville JEA has been issued, that it can actually draw water that some science shows is pulling from our part of the aquifer and is literally changing the flow of water in the aquifer. So the first thing we really need to do in that area is to get a lot more hard data about where this water is going. I think we have to do a tremendous greater effort in water reuse throughout the state of Florida. I don't think that the county itself can be just, when you get back to the philosophy of where the water is actually coming from, To have just a solution for Alachua County really doesn't solve the problem. We've got to have a statewide comprehensive solution. And I think we can lead by example, for instance, in water reuse and those types of things. But we have to get everybody on board, from the agriculture to the tourists to the business. Energy is one of the leading users of water. For instance, the new biomass plant, whether you are for it or against it, is going to use a couple of million gallons a day. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are drawing on our water. And I believe that what we have to do is rely on the data, which is not really sufficient yet. I attended a meeting in Lake City the other day where they talked about that we don't even have the rate of flow from the majority of our springs. For instance, Silver Springs, I know it's not in Alachua County, but it's one of the biggest springs in the region. We don't even have the water flow data from that.
Thank you. Mr. Byerly.
Well, first of all, I think it's really important to distinguish between the issue of keeping our water here and not piping it to South Florida versus conservation. Simply saying that we want North Florida's water to stay in North Florida, of course, that's a no-brainer. Everyone in North Florida supports that. The question is, how do we conserve and effectively make better use of whatever we manage to keep here? And a lot of power, unfortunately, and authority is taken from counties and local jurisdictions and reserved by the state through the water management districts, and there are only a few things we can do, but we need to be pushing those things to the limit. One of them, very important, probably most importantly, is the way that we protect our wetlands in Alachua County. There's a direct relationship between the quantity and the quality of water that we have available and the protections and the quality of wetlands. We are allowed to establish wetland buffers and protections that exceed state standards. It's one of the few things they still let us do. And the state standards are woefully inadequate. So I support strong wetland buffers. We now exceed the ones, again, that the state requires, and we could do more to help with that. I support the Water Management District's current emergency restrictions on watering lawns. When we know we're in a crisis, they allow them to restrict when and how you can and water so that the water doesn't get wasted. I certainly don't think we need to be decreasing or cutting our local Environmental Protection Department budget. One of the things that is being chopped this year, $50,000 taking out of our water quality monitoring program. That is not what we need to be doing. We should be doing the opposite. The county can become more involved in pursuing and opposing and fighting what we consider consumptive use permits through the water management districts that are wasteful or unnecessary. And lastly, we should be supporting good research and good environmental staffing in the water management districts. They've been cutting a lot of research personnel in recent years, and that's the wrong direction to go as well.
Thank you. For our next question, we'll begin with Mr. Byerly. What should the county government's role be in the world of technological startups and entrepreneurships that is rapidly developing here?
That's a question I've never gotten before on one of these campaign forums. I don't think that the county commission has a direct role in deciding how technology startups occur or what areas should be researched. I think the most effective thing that county government can do to promote business startups and in a kind of a high-tech advanced research sectors would be to provide a community that is attractive to the kind of people that we know take those kind of jobs. These are technologies and business sectors that tend to have the luxury of locating wherever they want to, and the corporations that expand locate in communities that offer a high quality of life to their employees, which in many of the tech sectors and computer and data research certainly tend to be younger people. Mindtree is one of the recent companies that chose to locate here because of the resources we have available through the University of Florida, but also because we have a lot going for us as a community. Good conservation areas, ample recreational opportunities, quality public services are the kind of things that are going to serve as an attractor for business development, the kind of business development that we want. So I think if government focuses on doing what government should be doing, public services, public infrastructure, the business community can make decisions like the one you're just asking about.
Thank you. Mr. Martin.
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is look at the businesses that you already have here and ask yourself, why are they, for instance, leaving? We just saw one of our companies that got world renown here, Heat Pipe Technology, is now moving out of Alachua County, out of the city of Gainesville. It started in Alachua, I think it was, and moved to Gainesville, and is now moving to Tampa. I personally believe that that part of the problem we have is the high taxation regulation, and now with some of the things that are happening here locally, the highest utility rates are going to be in the state. I think that impacts a business. We had another business called Ball Corporation. It's high tech in a sense that they were a leader in mechanized producing of aluminum can tops. They're leaving as well, and they're not going overseas. They're going to other parts of the United States, and in the case of the previous one, to another part of the state. I think the first thing you need to do is get with companies like that or get with the University of Florida and ask them, what things are we currently not doing or that we currently are doing that may either hamper development here or discourage people to come here? Because if you look at Gainesville, Alachua County, with the University of Florida and the environment that we have here, why wouldn't someone want to come here? So I don't believe if the question, and I'm not saying it is, but if the question is implying that the county needs to give some type of incentive, I do agree with Mike that our quality of life is probably the biggest incentive as it can be. Locally, actually, probably the best thing we could do to attract and maintain and retain businesses when they're located here is a well-educated workforce. And obviously, that starts at the very elementary level right on up. Everybody recognizes how great we are at the University of Florida, but we've got to continue to make sure that we provide people at the school level, at the grade school level, that are excelling as well. And that's something we have to look at as a community.
Thank you. The next question begins with Mr. Martin. What can the County Commission do to bring not only professional and research career opportunities to Alachua County, but also middle class and living wage jobs to the area so that we can have a balanced economic base?
Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying before, and that ties into the previous question. I mean, we're losing some high-paying jobs with benefits in those two corporations I mentioned. A lot of people don't realize, but like the heat pipe technology company I mentioned was one of the forefront companies in the world. They developed technology that made the space shuttle program possible. So it's not, and this is several years ago, so it's not like we haven't had that. So to me, when you look at what is going to produce the better paying jobs, if you look, for instance, California has literally regulated and taxed themselves to the point that businesses are fleeing there in droves. And they're going to Austin, Texas. A big chunk of their business is going to Austin, Texas, which has a major research institution like we have here in Gainesville, in Alachua County. So what we need to do is look at what is attracting them. What is attracting them is not only the quality of life, but the fact that they have lower taxes, lower entry-level fees to start a business, and they have lower utility rates, all of these types of things. All of these things impact the business. When I look at my own business, which I have a business that employs about 20 people, I look at it, and before I hire someone new, the last thing in the world you want to do is hire someone and have to fire them. That is the toughest. I'll never make a decision on the county commissioner tougher than having to let a good person go. Looking them in the eye and having to let them go. I can guarantee you that. And so you have to ask yourself, what is it that, can I afford to do this? Can I afford to expand my business? Can I afford to pay those higher salaries? We have discussions all the time in my business about we want to pay our people as high as they can, as they're worth, but at the same time, we have to be able to pay our bills. If our utility bills are going up, if our taxes are going up, if the cost of rules and regulations is going up all the time, that is money that I cannot use to hire a new employee. So to sum it up, we need to first look at what would be the disincentive of a business wanting to come here.
Thank you. Mr. Byerly.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. What can the County Commission do to bring not only professional and research career opportunities to Alachua County, but also middle class and living wage jobs to the area so that we can have a balanced economic base?
I wish I had some really clear, positive answers I could give. As a county commission, as county commissioner, however, it's pretty frustrating not to be able to do more to control the economy in which we're all functioning. We're all more or less caught up in broad economic trends that we have a hard time controlling locally. Some of the consolidations that Mr. Martin referred to are business decisions that are made, and I wouldn't conjecture as to why it's happening. Those decisions weren't offered, they weren't made public. I will disagree with him that something that might be driving away potential businesses is taxes. Florida is one of the very lowest tax states in the country. I would strongly suggest that we're competitive with Austin, Texas in terms of our total tax burden. Alachua County is significantly below the state average in total revenue per capita. So if you're just looking at taxes, I think we're very competitive, but I really don't think a case has been made that that's what really drives the decision for a business to locate here or expand. There are a lot of other things that go into that, including the some of the things that your taxes pay for. I think we can be penny wise and pound foolish in cutting a lot of services drastically just so we can claim we have a slightly lower tax rate than other communities if the quality of life, again, and the things that attract people here and keep them here suffer as a result. So I do think we need to do what we can to grow businesses from within, businesses that are already here, as opposed to trying to attract corporations to come here through tax subsidies or direct benefits. I don't support those. I support a living wage ordinance. So when the county contracts with people and businesses in the community, we pay them a competitive living wage. And we should set the example as a county in what we pay our people to try to support and strengthen the middle class jobs that we offer as a county.
Thank you. We have some time for a question from the audience. And we will begin this question with Mr. Byerly. In view of the fact that not everyone has a computer or is computer literate, how would you propose getting information on vital issues to them?
Well, I strongly support our library district. I serve on the library district. I serve as the chair of the governing board and have been on the district for years. And that is one of the most important things that they do. Is that they provide access to community events, not just through computers, but other means for people who come into the library district. It's the digital age. It's hard to get things out to the community if they don't participate in that technology. We have TV, we have Channel 12, we have, of course, which is a very important service that we have upgraded and expanded in recent years. We try to provide as much direct information to people about what's going on in the government as they possibly can. I maintain a large database of people who have asked me over the years to be kept apprised of current events, and I think most commissioners do. So coming to meetings, participating in advisory committees, watching government channel, these are some of the things that people who are really interested in taking their citizenship to a higher level can do, even if they choose not to or for whatever reason are not computer literate.
Thank you. Mr. Martin.
Well, as someone who has served on a small city commission where, you know, obviously we didn't have the technology that the county has at their disposal to get that out, I can share with you that it is very frustrating trying to get that information out. As far as the library district, I strongly support them as well. I guess people talk about my father all the time, but he would literally be turning over his grave if I didn't support the library district since he literally created it. So I very much support that, and I think that is a great way for people to have access to the internet that do not have it. Most, you know, aside from older people, if you look at a lot of these younger people, there are very few people that. I mean, these kids today have cell phones. Cell phone technology is now becoming literally a laptop in your hand. I don't think it's a lack of the technology, although I strongly support, let me make it clear, I strongly support trying to get the information out there in any way possible. I think it's more apathy than anything else. We have to create a desire, if you want to, in people to find out. If you want to know what's happening as far as meetings and various issues, it's out there. That what I find is, you know, when we'd go to, going back to the Hawthorne City Commission, I'd pull up there, and if there were more than about the 10 usual cars out there, my first thought was, well, what have we done wrong now? Because there would be people, if it's something they don't like, they'll be out there in a heartbeat. But to me, it's more apathy, to be honest with you, than it is a lack of getting the information out there. I think the county, and this is an area I'm sure Mike and I would have in here, I think the county has tried its best to continue to improve in that area from the public access channel. One thing I would love to see is these forums like you're having here today taped and put on public access channel. Those types of things, so the people who want to can access it. Those, to me, that's what we have to do, those types of things. But it's more apathy that I'm actually concerned about.
Thank you. We will have one final question from the audience, and I will start with Mr. Byerly. The residents of Summit Oaks and others oppose development of 300 homes and 30,000 square feet of commercial services on Park Avenue at Santa Fe, but the City Commission voted yes to approve the preliminary plans. I'm sorry, County Commission, to approve the preliminary plans. How did you vote, or would you have voted, and why?
I supported...
I'm sorry. Mr. Martin first.
Well, obviously, I did not vote on that issue. I'm not on the county commission. Obviously, I'm hoping to be. With your help, I will be. Those types of issues, I'm not sure exactly how I would have. And my most honest answer, I'm not sure how I would have voted on that because I have not researched every aspect of that issue like I would expect Mr. Byerly has done by being on the county commission. I think when you really look at it, it's the toughest thing in the world to do is try to say what is in the best interest of an individual or a group of individuals like a neighborhood and what is fair and reasonable for the person or group of people who are trying to develop something. Because if you're in a subdivision, for instance, I can almost guarantee you that when your subdivision was being requested and permitted, there were people in the subdivision that was there before you who were opposed to your subdivision. So if you live in a subdivision, I guarantee you there are people out there that are opposed to that building happening. So that is one of the toughest jobs, whether it's Mike on the county commissioner or I'm getting on there. I'm sure he would agree with me on this, and he can answer it himself. But it's really tough. My basic philosophy is when you look at it, My role of government, the way I look at it, we're supposed to protect and serve, like it says on the police car. When you do beyond that, I'm not saying there's not a role for government beyond that, but you're doing what I said earlier. You're trading an individual's rights for what the group's is. So in order to specifically answer that question of how I would have voted without being on the commission, without reading all of the staff reports and those types of things, I cannot honestly say how I would have voted. I will tell you this, that my basic feeling is that people have a right, as long as it's permitted by the rules and regulations, they have a right to develop their property, just like the person had a right to develop the property that you're currently living in.
Thank you. Mr. Byerly.
I voted for that. Now, what was the question again specifically? I'd like to be able to say something more than I voted for it.
It was how did you vote or would you have voted and why?
Okay, I did vote for it. For those of you, which is probably most of you, who don't really know what the details were, this is a piece of land at the intersection of 39th Avenue, Northwest 39th Avenue, and 83rd Street, I think that is, where the Santa Fe Community College is on. It's right there at that corner, on the southeast corner of that intersection, very high profile, a lot of traffic goes by there. And the proposal was for a mixed-use type development, which I'm strongly supportive of, which just means that they would have commercial, multi-story, nicely landscaped development up towards the corner, but also with a mix of residential. So it's not just segregated uses of businesses and apartments and higher density residential, but they're combined in a way that's more like a community, more like a downtown Gainesville type environment, which I thought was very appropriate for this area. People will be able to live there. It's catering to kind of a younger, not student population so much, socioeconomically a little bit more affluent than that, but young professionals who will work at the health developments that are going in Santa Fe Community College, developments that are going in north of 39th Avenue, and also some people who are going to the community college, but people will be able to live there that actually work and go to school in a given area. It was a good development. I don't have time to go into all the details of why it was a good development, but it's very nicely integrated into the community, good bicycle pedestrian infrastructure, and I think it'll be a real asset.
Thank you. Now we will move on to the closing statements, and each candidate will have 2 minutes. We will hear the candidates' closing statements in the reverse order from the opening statements. So, Mr. Martin, please go first.
Well, first, thank you all for coming out today and allowing us to be here, and I just want to add on something about that. You know, I knew Mike voted for that project. It would have been very simple for me to take a shot and say I would be opposed to it, but I will never be that type of person. I will always be the type of person, if I don't know something, if I don't have a strong opinion on it, if I haven't done the research on it, I'll just tell you that, which is what I did. You have a decision to make in this upcoming election, and it is beyond just the particular political issues. I mean, I'm the only one running for county commission that is running against an incumbent in Mr. Byerly. So obviously, many of you have either voted for or against Mike over the 12 years he's been here. So your decision, to a certain extent, is going to be twofold. One, do you think Mike has done a good job? And if he has, no, there's probably nothing that I'm going to say up here that's going to convince you to vote otherwise. Or some of you may vote straight Democrat or straight Republican. I personally think that is the wrong way to do, because I don't think you do that in any other aspect of your life. You follow the issues and vote and do what you think is right. So what comes down to this, if you think that Alachua County is on the right track, that you're getting fair value for your tax dollar, that we are a growing, prosperous community and we're moving in the right direction, and you think that Mike has played a vital role in that over the last 12 years, then you're absolutely going to return him to the county commission. I'm not there, I have no doubt of that. If you think that we're not getting fair value and that the direction we're going in needs to be different, then you're going to consider voting for someone else. I hope, my greatest hope here today is that no matter who you support, you would agree that I am a type person that will be a dedicated public servant, will do the best job I can, and will treat, if I'm talking to the president of the University of Florida or a farmer in La Crosse, I will listen to what they have to say, and I will talk to them and respect them and treat them with the dignity they deserve, that I will be a true county commissioner for all of Alachua County. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Byerly.
Well, I am the incumbent, and I certainly wouldn't want to be held accountable for all the negative things that are happening in our community right now as a result of the economy, and I won't take credit for the good things that are happening in our economy. I think if you have to make a decision between keeping an incumbent in office or voting in a challenger, it's up to the challenger not to just point out things that are wrong in the community, but what they would do differently. What specifically are your choices? What's going to change if you put Mr. John Martin in my place? The frustrating thing about these forums that I've been having with Mr. Martin is that he really hasn't put anything specific on the table for us to debate. He has promised to reduce taxes to the tune of about $7 million from our general fund budget, which is a huge reduction, but has not proposed a single penny as to where he would actually make cuts. He has promised to reduce, I'll read from his palm card, stifling environmental regulations, but has never specified the first regulation he would actually reduce or eliminate. He has promised to get rid of environmental regulations in general, but also reduce or get rid of what he terms redundant or duplicative services from the County Environmental Protection Department. I've challenged him over and over again to give one example. He should be giving three, but just one example of what he considers a duplication from our local Environmental Protection Department, something the state and federal governments are already doing, and he hasn't put it on the table. So we must kind of speak in generalities, in code language, because we don't really have anything very specific to offer you in terms of reductions. And I think that's something we should be having. Clearly, I'm talking about strengthening environmental protections. I'm talking about strengthening social services. I'm talking about offering a steady, stable reduction to our budget, but not gutting or eliminating public interest regulations that protect the public's interest. That should give you a sense of what the contrast is between Mr. Martin and myself. Time is up. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you to both the candidates and the audience for your participation. This ends the panel for Alachua County Commission District 1 race, and I'll turn it back to Marjorie for concluding remarks.